The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Good evening, everyone. So sorry for walking in late. Our car broke down on the way. But we are here now. And you will be blessed tremendously in the time we have left. Amen. Are you ready for the word? Hallelujah. Let's have our seats. Amen. So we are on basic ministry know-how, basic things every believer must know, right? If I say basic things every believer must know, I'm correct. If I say basic things every minister must know, I'm also correct. And the reason is simply because the believer is a minister. Every believer is supposed to do ministry. That does not necessarily mean that every believer will bear a certain title, right? But it means every believer must be involved in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Basically, if you read my book on how to find the will of God for your life and everyday living, I mentioned two major things. One is every believer must be involved in soul winning, what we call the ministry of reconciliation. And secondly, every believer must be involved in serving the saints. You see these two things. If you are a believer, you must be doing these two. One is getting the lost saved, which is preaching the gospel to them. The second is serving the saints in different capacities. So the usher, for instance, we can call ushering ministry. Now, why can we call ushering ministry? Because the usher is serving the saints in some way. We can call singing in the choir ministry. We can call working in the technical team ministry. We can call serving the media team ministry, because you are serving the saints. Now, we cannot call being a photographer ministry. Because even though the guy snapping picture in church and the guy snapping picture in his shop are doing the same things, they are not doing the same thing in the real sense of it. One is trying to make money. The other one is trying to serve the saints. Are you getting what I'm talking about? We cannot call, if you're a sound engineer, you go around setting sound. You can't call that ministry, because that's an occupation and God is not against it. But when you begin to set sound in church for the purpose of ministry, not because you are getting paid, we can call that ministry, because you are doing it to serve the saints. Do you understand what I'm saying now? We may not call, unless, even singing every place, we may not call it ministry. If I like to say that again, singing is not ministry as it were, but singing for the purpose of edifying the saints, blessing them, right? Serving the saints in church, we call it ministry. Not because singing in itself is a ministry, but because it is now used to serve the saints. And that goes for every other thing. And the same thing with speaking. A motivational speaker is not a minister. Now, but a person who is preaching the word to the church is a minister. Both of them are talking. Somehow, both of them, you can even say both of them are orators. But then, one is a minister, the other one is not. Ministry is serving, is to serve. And ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is to serve the saints. You are either serving sinners,
with the gospel, or you are serving saints in some way. Which is why philanthropy is not ministry. It's a good thing you can do, but it's not ministry. I mean, sharing money to people in the world is a very good thing, commendable. It's not ministry. But giving money, using your money to assist saints in church can stand as ministry. The Bible talks about the ministry of giving. Let me even give you a simple way to know. You see, what is not ministry can be done without the power of Jesus, without the power of the Holy Ghost. Any wealthy millionaire out there can decide to begin to share food to the poor. He doesn't need the power of God to do that. But the guy in church needs the power of God to do it. You see how? Because when the guy in church, look, I'll give an example. You can study maybe someone like Mother Teresa or some of these guys that had orphanage homes, believers, ministers at orphanage homes. Sometimes Mother Teresa will tell you how they will wake up in the morning. She has made up her mind to feed all those people, all those children under her care. But she doesn't have money. And she'll just gather them and say, let us pray. Like God will provide. That's one of those dramatic stories. Is it about this also? That they had an orphanage. There was no food for them to eat for that day. And they prayed that God was going to provide. The kids were hungry. She was hungry too. They prayed. Number of kids under their care. And on that day, a vehicle was transporting bread. Some of you have heard this story. To somewhere. And the vehicle broke down. And I tried to get the vehicle fixed, and obviously before they get to where the bed was going to, it was going to be too late. And the owner just said, well, they just moved everything, the entire a truckload of bread, moved it into the place. And said, you know, we are going to somewhere to deliver this, but then, since you can't get there, let's just give it to you. It was a prayer they prayed. Now, it's not the same thing as philanthropy. Philanthropy, you give when you have. I got what I'm saying now. You give when your pocket is full. If you don't chop belief, you say, how can we reach the community? That one is philanthropy. How can we impact the people? So out of the 100 million naira you have, you bring out 200,000 and buy 5 wheelbarrows and give to people. I say, we are empowering them. That's not ministry. That is not bad though. It's not ministry. Are you following me? This is what our politicians are doing. That's not ministry. Are you following the point? So there is philanthropy, there's ministry. One can be done without the help of the Holy Spirit. The other one cannot be done without His help. Because sometimes you are doing it and you have nothing to gain. That's what Jesus was telling them. Jesus told them to give to people that will not give them anything in return. And that's very hard. Only the power of God can help you do that. Let me even tell you, without the Holy Spirit leading, every act of philanthropy has an element of selfishness in it. So let's leave it for another day. Without the Holy Spirit leading you, every act of philanthropy, sometimes the selfishness is, I want to be recognized. Sometimes it's because he has planned to contest for election in 10 years' time. So he's setting the ground. Or he wants to contest for the Igwe of his village. Yeah, at the end of the day. But with the Holy Spirit leading, you find out people can just give themselves. The Bible tells us about the church. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. This won't be my teaching today, but I just feel like to start with it. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. How there was a church of Macedonia who were very poor. But the Bible said they were in deep poverty. Chapter 8 verse 2. 2 Corinthians, they were in deep poverty. Start from verse 1. He said, we want you to know. I love the word. You just put it. You know, moreover, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the church of Macedonia. So he was talking about the grace they had. How did that grace manifest? Verse 2. How that in a great, watch this. I'm talking about philanthropy. But this time it's not philanthropy. I'm talking about ministry. Where giving can be ministry. How that in a great trial of affliction. So they were in a great affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. So they were in deep poverty, yet they abounded unto the riches of liberality. Give me like NLT of this verse. NLT. Watch. They have been tested by many troubles and they are very poor. but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. How can you put those two things in the same sentence? Poverty and generosity is by the help of the Holy Spirit. Are you following me this evening? Poverty, I think, is wealth, then generosity. But these ones are poor. Deep poverty. They are very poor. Now, see verse 3. Verse 3. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. And they did it of their own free will. In fact, verse 4 is emphatic. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing the gifts. So they were sending gifts to believers in Jerusalem. And Paul wanted to exempt this church because they didn't have. There is that pastoral thing of, okay, I know you guys don't have. But they were begging Paul, say, please, please. What makes poor people beg to give is the ministry of giving. It is the enabling of the Holy Spirit. Are you following me? That same thing, you do not need the Holy Spirit to sing at a club. You don't need the Holy Spirit to sing at a wakekeep or burial. And there's nothing wrong with that. Are you following the point? They can be having a wedding ceremony, you don't need the Holy Spirit. But if you are going to stand on the stage to sing, you need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. If not, you're not going to bless people. And so I'm trying to show you that every believer must do ministry. The two you must do, everything falls under ministry of reconciliation and serving the saints. What I'm doing now, I'm serving the saints. Serving you with the gospel. So when we are teaching on basic ministry know-how, it is because, and why are we teaching it to the whole church? It is because we understand that everybody in the church must be involved in ministry, in these two ministries. Under ministry to the saints, we can now say, some people have special callings. But before we get to the special callings, everybody has these two callings, ministry of reconciliation and ministry to the saints. We can now say, some are specially called to be evangelists, to reach the lost. It doesn't mean that only once. Are you following me? That's why in 2 Timothy, Paul wrote to Timothy, and I think Timothy was a pastor. His calling was not to reach the lost. But Paul wrote to Timothy and told Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Because a pastor must also do the work of an evangelist. It doesn't mean a pastor is an evangelist by calling. It just means that a pastor must still win the lost. Because before he became a pastor, he was a believer. And a believer has the basic ministry of reaching the lost. Do you follow to this point, friends? So everybody must do ministry of reconciliation and then serving the saints. So under serving the saints, somebody can now say, I'm specially called to be a pastor. A pastor is the shepherd that cares for people. That is true. But should every believer care for people? Yes. Should the usher care for people in your own space? Yes. If in your generation someone falls sick, are we expecting you to come visit the person and pray for the person? Yes. So even though there are people that have special ministries, in quotes, those ministries, all those things they do, the believer is meant to do them at different capacities. There is the ministry of the teacher, specially called to teach. But should a believer be able to explain the Bible to another person? Yes, obviously. Whether there is a calling or there's no calling. Are you following me, friends? That is the apostle sent to a special land. You might not be an apostle sent to anywhere. But man, by the time you move into a new environment, a new street, you must see yourself as an apostle. God has sent me here for this purpose. You see, the Bible did not call Joseph an apostle. But when Joseph was narrating to his brothers how he got to Egypt, he told them, God sent me here for this purpose. Well, if you read the story, God didn't send Joseph there. He was sold into slavery. But he was apostolic in his mindset. He had an apostolic mindset. So he said, even though I came here by slavery, but God sent me here for this purpose. So we mustn't all carry titles. But we must find out that whatever we are expected, whatever we are meant to do. Not like we talk about the prophetic. Say, I'm not called to be a prophet. You are not. But should every believer be able to prophesy? Yes. Should every believer be able to speak by the Spirit and know by the Spirit and give guidance by the Spirit in his own small space? Yes. So I'm emphasizing the fact that every believer is a minister. And every believer must receive some sort of ministerial training. The problem we have is that our churches are not training centers for ministry. That is not good. Every church is going to serve as a training center for ministry. He says, can you back this up with the Bible? Yes. Ephesians 4 verse 11. He said he gave some apostles, gave some prophets, and evangelists, and pastors, and teachers. And in verse 12, he told us why they were giving. He said they were giving for the perfecting of the saints. For the work of ministry. The way King James writes it, King James said, for the perfection of the saints. One, for the work of ministry. But that's not actually how it appears in the original. In the original, there is no comma there. It appears for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry. That's why if you read other translations, like New Living Translation, like NLT, you see, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work. So it is to perfect the saints to be able to do ministry. Are you getting the point? To mature the saints to a point. So the job of the pastor is to mature you to a point that you'll be able to do ministry. That's the job. That's my job. So churches should be training centers for ministry. Churches should not just be receiving centers. A place of shout, I receive. Are you following the point? When I was teaching you about the church, if you remember, when I taught you about touching right, I defined the church in three major ways. I said, first of all, the church is a family. Do you remember that? The church is a family. That's why in church, you stay in church as a son. Secondly, the church is a school. That's why you come to church as a student. That's why we are called disciples. A disciple is a student. Thirdly, the church is, was it an office or a workplace? A workshop. So you are here as a son, as a student, as a servant. As a son, you belong to the family. As a student, you are learning the word. As a servant, you are serving the Lord. Are you following me, friends? So, yes, we accept you as a son. We treat you as son. Care for you. But we are also a student. And we hope you can learn to a point that you become a servant. To begin to serve. But many people are just in church today as, not even as anything, as strangers, visitors. In fact, the problem is that many people want to come to church, not even as son, as students, as they want to come to church as patients. Hospital patients. All they're thinking about is, when I come, care for me. Care for me. I have not eaten. Give me to eat. I have not done it. Let me tell you, most times I know people who are not going to be serious in church. Anyone that comes to the church and the first three days or 1 week of coming to that church has started begging for money, has not come to join, has not come to learn. He just came to collect. They see church as a hospital. Yeah, church is a hospital. But even if we call this place a hospital, no patient stays in the hospital forever. Do you live in the hospital? But some people want to stay in this hospital and never leave this hospital. They want to stay. Every day, give me, do for me. So they go look for churches that are solution centers. Yes, God gives people solution here. But this is not primarily a solution center. This is a training ground for ministry so that you can grow and become better. So that's what I'm explaining myself. So when you see sometimes the kind of teachings we do here, the kind of things we try to do, don't think we are doing too much. We have an aim. Right? It's not about people gathering. We do a lot of programs here, but it's not because of anything. It's because of money. Well, this is one church you get to. A program can hold from beginning to end. There will be not. Have you ever seen me come up with a program and preach to the point and start raising seed? It doesn't happen. Rarely will it happen. Except I can tell you, next week we're going to give concerning this. It's a different matter. But to do survey conference, in the midst of a survey conference, as the spirit is moving, I start shouting, hey, Yakaba, bring 50,000. I don't do that. So all those programs we plan, the purpose, there is something we are trying to achieve. Are you getting the point? The program is coming up. We are going to announce to you, have a program coming up, Potatoes of Light. We've made a budget. Give towards it, and you give towards it. Once the program is running, you can't see me say, the Lord now said, we should bring 1 million. I will rarely do that. Except that it's a project. But rarely, I don't think I've done that in the past 5 years, if not more. Unless I don't remember. Are you following what I'm saying? There is something we are trying to achieve. And that thing we are trying to achieve is to see that you mature. You see that you mature. And so every believer is a minister. Minister must get some sort of ministerial training. Whether you think you are going to do full-time or part-time, you must be trained in some way for ministry. Shout amen. Amen. And so far, I've focused on a few things. I've taught you on how to lead a person to Christ. That's one major thing every believer must learn, how to lead a person to Christ. How to follow up a person, disciple a person. Maybe not disciple, basic follow-up. And on Sunday, I began to teach you on how to heal the sick. Remember that? How you can minister healing to the sick. I will have such a swell time on Sunday. Amen. And, you know, I showed you how that every believer can heal the sick and how you are going to heal the sick. There's a strong point I made on Sunday that I don't know if I had time to explain further, but I'm just going to repeat it. I put it on Facebook a few minutes ago, and I want to say it again. When you minister healing to the sick, when you've prayed for the sick, you say, in the name of Jesus, be healed, all of that. You do not focus on the person to know if healing has come. If you are growing in the healing anointing, you will learn what I'm saying. Because what most people do is, as they're praying, they're checking to see, is it still paining you? Is it not paining you? I don't do that. If I want to minister healing to a person, I am focusing on myself. I'm going to show you this in the Bible shortly. I'm focusing on myself. What do I mean? I'm checking my spirit. If I say, blind eye open, in Jesus' name, blah, 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 I'm not looking at the eye. If I get the, it's done in my spirit, I will tell that it is done. Because healing is not received with the body. Actually, it's with your spirit. Let me show you this. I showed this scripture on Sunday. I'll show you one more today. In Acts chapter 3, Paul ministered to, Peter, not Paul, ministered to a crippled man who was by the beautiful gate. In verse 6, Peter said, silver or gold I do not have. Such as I have, I give unto you. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. So in verse 7, he took him. So watch, when he said that, there are cases you read in the Bible where the preacher will preach and the person will jump up. For instance, in Paul's case in Acts chapter, I think chapter 14, where he met that man at Iconium, he prayed, at Lystra, rather not Iconium, at Lystra, he prayed, the man jumped up. But in this case, Peter prayed, the man didn't jump up. So Peter took him by the hand and raised him. In other words, Peter knew in his heart that this guy has been healed. So Peter was not checking to see if there was a movement on his body. Peter got the answer in his spirit. It's what I'm saying. Do you observe? It was when he lifted him up that his feet and bones received strength. Look at that closely. So there was no strength in the physical on the man's feet and his ankle bones. It was when Peter lifted him that the strength came. Are you getting the point? And so Peter knew. So when I minister, that's why if I preach, pray for the sick here, we'll be whole, say, I pray for many people. And I say, in the name of Jesus, you are healed. It's done. I observe something. Most times, people don't even know they're healed. That's why if you keep checking people to see their reaction before you know they're healed, you have a problem. Are you seeing the point? I'll give an example. We just came from a conference. On the second night of the conference, I was ministering to a young guy. It was a very dramatic thing. You know, he had one of his ears bad. So when I called, some of you remember what I'm saying? When I called him out, he just came. And I told him, he said his ear is bad. So I just put my hand and prayed for him. I knew he was healed already. So I said, if you're healed, you will know, right? Yes. I saw that I closed the other one. Immediately he closed the one that was good. Before I could even test, he started crying. He broke down into tears. He didn't know he had been healed, but I knew. Are you know what I'm talking about? So it was now when he now closed the other one. He now found out, this is now good. He started crying. Healing. So if you make progress in healing anointing, you find out that you actually don't check, is he smiling? Is he happy? To start with, there are people you minister healing to, they don't have emotions. They get healed, they're just there. See, if you're waiting for the emotions to encourage you, you'll be discouraged. Are you know what I'm saying? That guy, that woman started crying. It was a very emotional. That baby would have not even react. Are you healed? Yes. Make sure you are healed. Yes. Now you are now explaining. Wait, you can now hear very well. That people just differ. Now, I'm trying to show you this. It's in your spirit. Let me give you another example. The day that woman that had the issue of blood touched Jesus, Jesus didn't need to see her to know. He just said, virtue has left me. So he got the sign in his spirit that someone just got healed without seeing the person. I get what I'm saying. That's why in ministry healing, you don't say, is he smiling? Is he happy? Once I get it, sometimes it's when you now get the knowing in your spirit that you now tell the person, oh yeah, do what you couldn't do before. Sometimes it's as the person is now about to do what he couldn't do before, he finds out that he has been healed. Is this simple enough? I say, sir, how do I get the knowing in my spirit? I've just told you. One of the things you must learn is you have to trust your spirit, man. Okay, let me put it. You have to trust what you know. When you're praying and you just know in your heart, just sense in your heart that this guy is fine. Where there is no physical anything. You tell him, I've seen where someone was ministering to someone that had a shorter leg, wanted the leg to grow out, and he prayed, he said, it's done. But the leg was still as. So he kept saying, like, yes, you're growing now. You're growing now. He was just speaking and affirming what you already know has happened. Do you understand the point? When a person makes progress in the anointing, when the anointing has worked, you will know. So that's why when I pray here over a matter and I tell you it's done, that is done. It's not coming from a place of entertainment or trying to make you rejoice or happy. I know it's done. And you know the thing about it, if it's not done and you say it's done, it's not still done. Do you understand? So I don't just speak. I'm just going to pass the shot to my spirit, man, as I'm praying for you. That's why one of the things you don't do, even though you may not be able to, I don't like ministering to people casually. When I mean casually, I don't like ministering to people where my heart is not in what I'm doing. Because if you don't put your heart in what you are doing, you will not be able to connect with what is going on at that moment. I get what I'm talking about. So you put your heart, so that when the power moves, you will know that something has worked. I just thought to emphasize that. But that's why many people don't see healings manifest. Because they're waiting to pray for a blind person, and the person begins to scream, I can see. Have you ever gone to a big miracle crusade where a lot of people are getting healed? At least you've been to Zoe. Let me give you, watch what you're going. Any day we go to any meeting, I'm holding a meeting, observe this. When we first announce, I'm coming to this matter shortly, it is done. Most times, we say come and test, but people don't come out. Many people don't come out. It is one person or two or three. Once the 1, 2, 3 person comes out, people begin to stream out. Because what happened is that as other people are testifying, they're not like, it's like they will now check themselves and find out, oh, I'm now fine. They will now start coming out. So if the minister is depending on how they feel to know that the healing has happened, I follow him this evening, then he might never have results. Or he might have results, I don't know, he already has the results. And the devil plays with that kind of thing, messing with people's mind. So when you go to minister to the sick, the focus should be on what the Lord is doing, what is telling you in your heart, at the time you are putting hands on the person and all of that. Just like when I get to next Sunday or so, when I begin to teach you on how to cast out devils. Most people, when they want to cast out devils, so okay, I'm going to show you. They want to see the person scream, shout, or vomit. These things happen. You know, when I was learning about casting out devils very early in my ministry, I'm going to get to that, but not today. They told me, one of the materials I read, very powerful material, but they were telling us how a devil leaves a person. They say the devil can live through tears, devil can live through, and it's true actually. People can vomit, right? People can. So, when I got into the ministry, there are people that you don't see any of those things in their body. In fact, there are people you cast out devils from and they will not fall. They will just stand watching you. Now, there are people that will fall and shout and the devil is still there. I'm telling you, true life experience. They will shout, yeah. They will wake up, they get up the same way. The devil can play that game. The first time I saw this in a meeting, it was about healing too. That's why I said, you receive it, your spirit. It was about healing. My spiritual father was mentioned to a sick person. No, he mentioned the case by word of knowledge. The person came out. And he said, what is wrong with you? The person said, you know, I used to have this pain, but immediately you mentioned it. As I was coming out, everything just disappeared. People were already shouting. And he said, well, no, you are not fine yet. The sickness just hid. He put his hands on that boy and that guy, the whole symptoms came back. I get what I'm saying. Everything is resurfaced. He said, it's back, it's better. He said, yes, I know. He now casted it out properly. Are you following me, friends? It's not by observing symptoms. You pay attention to your spirit. But the devil took and camouflage. So that's I used to feel like the devil does it. Have you ever been sick and went to the hospital and you go enter there, you became fine, you come out. In fact, I used to feel that cars used to do that a lot. You can drive your car to the mechanic. You were hearing one sign, but you now drive. When you enter there, the mechanic will now drive it and say, ah, where is the sign? You say, sir, I swear it was there. If it wasn't there, I won't be here. You know, you don't focus on, you're not led by people's emotions. You are not led by their body language. You are not led by their action or how they react. You focus on what the Lord is telling you in your heart. That's why I'm interested to seek. At the moment. Amen. We're going to look at it again today. Another example I'm going to give you, which I'm going to open up very shortly, is the issue of the fig tree that dried up. Remember that story? Jesus spoke to the fig tree. He didn't dry up. He didn't bother. Because he knew it had happened when he left. So, let's see something. Let me just share a few more things with you. Are you following this so far? Let me share a few more things with you. How do you steer the anointing, the healing anointing, and to grow in it and make progress in it? I've taught this earlier. I just want to remind you, one of the things you do if you want to really have much results and feel the healing anointing a lot is to pray in the Holy Ghost a lot. Pray in the Spirit a lot. Now, praying in the Spirit, like I explained on Sunday, does not give you power. No, it doesn't. It's not when you pray, the Holy Ghost will start. In fact, the fact that you are praying in the Holy Ghost is already a sign that the Holy Ghost is inside your heart. So you don't actually need to pray in the Holy Ghost to have power. However, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, right, you are steering yourself. It's just like charging yourself. Just like there's already a phone. The phone already has a battery, but you plug it and it begins to charge. It begins to charge. You charge yourself up. How did Jude 20 put it? He said, building up yourself in on your most holy faith. Building up yourself, praying the Holy Ghost. The Amplified Classic of that Jude verse 20 is very significant. He said, but you beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith, make progress, rising like an edifice, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Ghost. Are you following me? James 5 and verse 16, if I'm not mistaken. James 5 and verse 16. Yes. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer for a righteous man. Now give me like a perfect classic of this verse. Everybody please look. The second part of it. He said the earnest. Are you looking at that? Have you picked where earnest is in your Bible? The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamically spoken. So what prayer does that it makes power available? He says that it's not the same thing as receiving power. No. Ephesians already tells us in 3 verse 20. Ephesians 3 verse 20. He said, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think, according to the power that works in you. So there is power that works in every believer. So James is telling us that when we pray, we steer that power up and make it available to do things. So one of the ways to get myself ready for the anointing is to pray. In the Holy Ghost a lot. I pray in the Holy Ghost a lot. Just pray in other tongues. Not when there is a sickness. When you start praying sickness, praying in tongues is not what you do. Speak to the sickness. I mean, how to get yourself ready to heal the sick at all times. Pray in the Holy Ghost a lot. That's why I can tell, I can casually, you might call it casually, I can casually look at a person and say, you know, be healed. Why? I spend a lot of time praying in tongues. And I've taught you this. Every time I have a major healing meeting coming up, I spend so much time praying the Holy Ghost. So much time. That gets my spiritual faculties ready. Are you following me? So praying in tongues a lot. It stirs you up. You know, it makes you ready to flow in that anointing. It's just like when you want to do a very long travel and you say you need to charge your phone to the fullest. That's how you do it. I get the point. So you pray a lot in the Holy Ghost. That's the first thing I'm going to say. Second thing I'm going to say is you have to stay conscious. Stay conscious of the fact that the healing anointing is in you. You know, one of the major reasons why many people don't heal the sick, I'm going to tell you very simply, they are not even aware. They know they have the anointing, but they forget. So when someone is sick, the first thing that comes to their mind naturally is, let me give you medication, let me take you to the hospital. It's after a very long time that they now begin to think, you know, I should have prayed for that person. Has it ever happened to you? You're not aware. One thing that keeps you conscious of such things is study God's word a lot. When you read the word of God a lot, especially, I'm just going to tell you this, if you want to flow in the anointing, especially when you read the miracles of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you read it a lot, you keep yourself very much aware. In fact, you can pray and read those verses to a point that you are looking for someone that is sick to pray for. That awareness gets the anointing working. Many people forget that they're anointed. Many people forget that there's something working in them. Peter said, see for God I do not have, such as I have I give. So Peter knew that he had something. He was aware of the fact that there is something working in him. Now, are you aware of that? Are you conscious of the fact that something is working in you? Many people are not aware. They know it when we say it in church. They even rejoice when we say it in church. But when they are faced with real life situation, they forget. It's after they've checked every other thing. They will not be thinking, I would have just prayed though. So there is need for that consciousness. And I tell you what is going to happen. Read the Bible a lot. And meditate on the word of God a lot. It keeps you very much aware. It keeps you. Because what is happening is, as you are reading the Bible and meditating on it, God's word is filling your heart. God's word is filling your thoughts. God's word is mingling with your mind. So it becomes easy for you to think the word or to think supernaturally when there is a problem. And I can say this to you, apart from healing, many of us in our personal lives, things go wrong in our lives. Most times we forget to pray. Until when you've tried everything and say it's true, I've not prayed. You need to start thinking supernaturally. And what makes you do that is that you fill your heart with the word of God. Read it a lot, meditate on it a lot, and until it mingles with your thoughts. Such that when there is a problem, the first point of call that comes to your head is to engage the anointing. Are you good what I'm saying? I've told you, and it's something that is just there that God has helped me with. When there's a problem, the first point of call is, let's pray. And it's not just sudden. You stay on the word, meditate on it. When it mingles with your regular thoughts, it will now be the natural thing. Because what is happening is that you feed on carnalities and natural things a lot. So when there's a problem, first thing in your mind is, what can we do? Let me call Mr. A. Let me call Mr. B. Let me call Mr. C. These are natural things. But when you study the word of God a lot, when there's a problem, the first point of call that will come to your mind is, we need to pray. Let's speak the word of God. Before every other thing, don't always let prayer be your plan B. Let prayer be your plan A. Let prayer be your first point of call. But it happens by you staying aware of the anointing. Staying aware of the anointing. And most times your first point of call is very important. I told you guys the story of when we had a suspected case of miscarriage you know, with my wife and all that. And the first thing that came to me immediately that happened was not, let's see the doctor. First thing, held her hand and we began to pray. Well, after we prayed, I said, let's go to the hospital. That there was an awareness immediately that the power of God can reverse the situation. And it sure did. Because by the time we got to the hospital, the doctor checked and said, there is no trace of anything. I said, okay, but is the bleeding normal at this point? He said, there is no reason why there should be bleeding. If there is bleeding at this point, it means there is miscarriage. He said, but I'm checking and everything is intact. Now, the natural thing another person would have done is, let's get to the hospital. When we get there, we'll now be firing prayer. Holy Spirit, be my comfort. You should have done that immediately. To engage the anointing immediately. But it's a consciousness. It's an awareness. Are you following me this evening? That's why you stay on the word of God a lot. Feed on it. Meditate on it. Eat it. It keeps you aware. So Peter and John said, such as I have. That particular statement blessed me a lot in the early days of my Christian life. I even preached a message with it. What do you have? They said, such as I have. At least they knew they had something. Are you aware that you have something? That's the point. Now, you are aware because you are in church. But when you meet a sick person, are you aware? Before you begin to roll out your money and say, I just want to support you to go to the hospital, are you aware? When someone dies in front of your house, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Is it a yeah? Or we can go and raise that person? Because that's actually what makes you ready. That's how people actually flow in the anointing. Jesus said, a woman whose son was dead. And when he saw them, the first thing that came to his mind is, let's raise this guy from the dead. And he sure did. So it's about awareness. You have to know that there's something working. Say the power of God is working in me. Say the healing anointing is working in me. And I am aware. Shout, I'm aware. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I have to stay conscious of that fact. I'm trying to beat time. You have to stay conscious of the fact that the anointing of God is working on your inside. The top thing that will help you always steer the anointing and walk in it is to have genuine compassion for the sick. Genuine compassion for the sick. Let me tell you, there is something about the healing anointing and compassion. You know, healing is, when we pray, two things must be in agreement when we pray. That is our heart and our mouth, our tongue. If it's only your tongue that is talking, but your heart is not connected, there will be no result. That's why the example again is salvation. When we say, say after me, Lord, you say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, come into my heart. Be my Lord, be my Lord. And you're not connected. There are nothing is happening. You're not saved though. There must be an agreement. That's why compassion is a big deal in ministry and healing. There are a lot of people that want to heal the sick. Just because they want to heal the sick. Just because they want to record testimonies. Just because they want to be able to share it. Just because they want to have the result that I've prayed for a blind person. Not because there is genuine compassion for the person. Jesus didn't minister like that. I know that a few cases where I've prayed for people without any compassion in my heart and they got healed. Yes, there is such a thing. It's faith working. Right? But I can tell you, the best state you can be is a state of genuine compassion. Now, not emotions. I said compassion. But I'm going to show you the difference shortly. In Matthew 14 and verse 14, we see a few cases. Matthew 14 and verse 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them and he healed their sick. It was compassion that made him heal them. It wasn't just, oh boy, crowd, don't gather out. Make a walk miracle here. Make them no say. You know that kind of thing. That was how Jesus healed the sick. It wasn't about him. It was about the sick. You know, I said this earlier. Ministry is about God and the people. Let me tell you, the easiest way to do ministry, I'm repeating it again, is about what God wants done and what will benefit the people. That's how I do ministry. So, anytime I want to make a decision in this church, the first thing I'm thinking about is, what does God want? The next thing is, how will he bless the church? If you ever put yourself first in ministry, you might not have results. And even if you start having results, it will not be long. And I say this sincerely, the devil will hijack what you are doing. You know why? Because self has entered. Personal ambition has entered. Are you getting the point? So Jesus saw the sick. It was compassion that made him pray for them. That's Matthew 13, verse 14. In Matthew 20 and verse 34, Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. It was blind people that met him. And touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. So he had compassion on them. In Mark 1, verse 40 and 41, a leper met Jesus and told him, "If you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus said, "I will, be thou clean." And verse 41, Jesus moved with compassion, put forth his hand. So it was compassion that moved Jesus. And I can show you many scriptures like that. Compassion. Compassion actually is about having genuine concern for the sick. Knowing that this is not God that gave them this, and this is the devil tormenting them. How can we get... If you hear Jesus talk about the sick, you will see his heart. What the Pharisees lacked that Jesus had was compassion. The Pharisees were more concerned about keeping the Sabbath day holy than healing people. So Jesus told them, "Are you guys not bothered that this daughter of Abraham," you remember that story, "has been bound by the devil for 18 years. They were not concerned. All they know is that we must keep the Sabbath day holy. So it wasn't about the person that has been down, bent over by the devil for 18 years. It was about their laws they wanted to maintain. And that's why they were not healing the sick. Are you following the point? I tell you one of the things, you know, I tell you sincerely, when they are close to me, will tell you. Sometimes I'm driving along the road and I see a sick person. If I see people who are terribly sick, you always hear me give a long kiss or a long sigh. I'll say, the devil is wicked. It breaks me. Let me say this to you, and this is not a general rule. Not a general rule. Please, don't take it seriously. But people, most times, when you see people that have a very strong healing ministry, most times, they've survived a very terrible sickness in their life. I get to the point. It's not because God made them sick to give them an anointing. No. It's because that thing they've passed through, they know what it means to be close to death. Now, don't take this seriously though, but I minister to deaf people a lot. And I've struggled with my ear a lot growing up. I told the guy, I went to preach to somewhere, and I came back, one of my ear was shot. Remember that story? So I know what it means. Don't be deaf. It was one ear. You know, they say ear controls balance. You think it's joke. Ear controls balance, so. If your ear is bad, you're just misbehaving. What has ever been? Your one of your ear has ever been shot? Let me see your hand. If you know what it feels like, sometimes you'll be shouting. That is the most embarrassing one. Do you know that this, we can hear you? So most times when you've gone through that, when you see people going through the same thing, you understand. For instance, if you've never had a tooth condition before, when someone says, "I'm having teeth pain," you just say, "Sorry." The day, God forbid, that sickness is of the devil. Like, if teeth pain you, you will feel you are going to die. Now, if you've never passed through this, you will never understand what I'm saying. Ask your neighbor that has gone through to explain in his own terms. It is mad. You want to die. I've gotten a few calls, I'm not once, not twice, of men crying on the phone. Tooth pain. "Good evening, sir." Not once, I'm not joking. And why I didn't laugh was because it has happened to me. There's this drug, I don't know what I say, they call Mixana. You know Mixana? Do they still have it? I lived on that drug a very long time. And the drug is funny. It has a very fast action. But it disappears the same way. I think it's about 15 minutes. You take it, you'll be very fine. In the next 15 minutes, you are back to where you started from. They should upgrade that thing. You should at least stay. So I was leaving. So when people come and they cry, Daddy, my ear, my teeth. It's not funny. It's not funny. Sometimes if you know, you will cry with the person. It's bad. So there are people that don't really care about the sick. That's what I'm saying. But they want to heal the sick to record miracle. I get what I'm saying. So that they can say, in our ministry last month, stage 8 cancer healed. Ministry last month, kidney failure, 2 kidneys have failed, healed. You know, that's why they're excited. Well, ministry is about God and the people. What God wants done and how it will impact the people. That's also why we preach. So whenever I'm planning for Sunday service, what I'm thinking about is, what does God want me to preach? And what will bless the people? When you don't think like this, you now find out that you will start deciding what to preach based on your need. You say, my birthday is coming up. And they're going to honor me financially. So I'll preach on how to honor your man of God. And I'll preach, my birthday is May. So I'll preach it in April. 2 series from April into May. Into the second Sunday of May and stop. So the honor we walk is selfish. Now, can God lead you to preach on that around that period? Yes. But once that's your motivation, you are selfish. He said, but nobody will know. Don't worry. You see God? You know, we'll start before him one day. What is what we're doing? We'll meet him. We'll face him. And the first thing he's going to judge, I've told you, motives. You know, man doesn't, we don't really pay attention to motives. You look at action. God sees the heart. That's the good thing about him. You just look at him and smile. Imagine. And you know the point, sometimes you don't even need to meet God. Sometimes now, you know what you are doing. So Jesus moved with compassion. So I'm asking, you want the sick to be healed or you want to record testimony? Which one do you want? You want the sick to be healed. Is there genuine? Because that's what Jesus had. Now, not emotions. Because when you now get emotional, it's to start crying with the sick. Somebody sick, you're crying. Now it is going to work. Oh. Compassion is to have genuine concern for the people that it now leads you to act on the word. Because the point is not crying. Just that, because if you look at Joseph's ministry closely, he had compassion. But there are other steps that he would take. You wonder whether he really had compassion. They told him that Lazarus was sick. And he left the town and started going elsewhere. Now, compassion is not the same thing as being emotional. If you are emotional, you will not be able to act on the word of God. The people come to my office and are in pain. And I tell them, you know what? You just go and do this, I'll pray for you later. Somebody will say, you don't even care about them. No, we care. Just that I care enough to know that if I pray now, he will not be healed because he's not ready for it. So the compassion will not make me to become emotional and not to act on the word of God. Are you got what I'm saying? How you know that Jesus really was concerned about Lazarus, even though he was sick and was walking up and down, was that when he got to his tomb, he began to cry. He couldn't hold it again. All the while on the journey, he was forming, don't worry, this sickness is not up to death. It's not up to death. We are going to raise him up. But he was really concerned. Just that you can't be too compassionate and then become emotional. If you get to that point, there will be no result. It's what followed me this evening. So compassion is that you care about the person, but then make sure you are acting within the boundaries of the word of God and the leading of the Spirit. So that you don't, out of emotions, say, you are sick. Don't worry, you're just going. I'm going to carry my bag. I'll come and leave your house. I'll be praying for you every day till you get well. You are being emotional. And there is no result with that. But if God leads you to do that, there are people that are sick around this place. My ministers will tell you that I've sent people to, and I'm saying it for the first time on stage, there are people who are sending to, there are people I sent now to different people to be praying for them every day. Some, for the past 3 to 4 months, we go there every week to minister to them. Yes. Every week. And I'm coming to that matter. Every week. Now, there's a leading like that. But it doesn't mean that if you're sick or coming to your house, I'm not coming to your house. Because it's by divine leading. So I'm not going to be too compassionate. So when I say compassion now, don't think it's about being dramatic. Because I've had cases where people called me, somebody called me, or even sent me text, "Daddy, I'm passing through this." And sincerely, the next thing on my mind is to pick up my phone and call and say, "How are you doing?" And sometimes God will lead me and say, "Do nothing, leave the matter." I had a case like that. A lady was going through a serious emotional tumble in her life. So she sent me a message, and the thing for me to do was to call her immediately and say, "Ah, my sister." And the Lord said, "No, leave her." I said, "Sir, what?" He said, "Don't talk about it. Just leave her. Just pray for her." So I'll just, in my own room, I'll pray. Even though I see her in church. How I felt was as child. But physically, I'll just walk up to her. "How are you doing?" Yeah. You know that I talk. "How are you doing? How is it going?" "Fine." I just pass. And I know in her heart, she was feeling like, "What kind of pastor did God send me to?" After like a few weeks, the Lord said, "Talk about it." By the time I now asked her, she said, "He's not asking me." "I'm now fine." I said, "What did you do to get fine?" She told me this, and that. Those were the same counsels I would have given her. Same. But the Lord said, that was when the Lord told me, he said, "I told you to leave that game because I wanted to navigate that path herself and learn how to win the next time." So when I mean being compassionate, I'm not saying being emotional. Being emotional is when you are no longer paying attention to the word and to the leading of the Spirit. Is what getting me this evening? So be compassionate, but don't be emotional. And another thing that stirs up the healing anointing like that is impartations, right? Whenever you have opportunity, let hands be laid on you. Every time hands are laid on you, something is added to your life. Always. I say, if I lay hands on you 10 times, something was activated in you 10 times. If I lay hands on you 20 times, something was activated in your heart 20 times. Paul told them in Romans 1 verse 11, he said, "I long to see you, that I may bring along some spiritual gifts for you, that you might be established." So, impartations work. So when we lay hands and speak over you, those things activate, they stir up the gifts of God deposited on our inside. They stir it up so that they can be used for our own good. So I won't say much about that, but just know, you know, there are people, if you look at the story of Stephen, for instance, Stephen was a deacon who was serving food in church. But then in Acts chapter 6, verse 3 and verse 4, hands were laid on them. By the time you get to verse 8, the Bible tells us that Stephen was now a man full of power, working great wonders and miracles among the people, because hands were laid on him. That's why from time to time, it is good we minister by the Spirit to activate and stir up the gifts of God that are in us and in people. Are you following the point? Sometimes I've seen hands laid on people and you find out that certain graces begin to work specially. I've seen it happen. For instance, I say a lot about the fact that I minister to the deaf. You know, every believer can minister to the deaf. But I can tell you, my ministry to the deaf is actually something that came by impartation. And I know the exact day, the exact time when hands were laid on me and that thing came alive inside of me. And it's been there. And it's been about 12 years of using the things. I know what I'm saying. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So that is impartation to help stir up things. You help stir up things. Are you getting the point? Are you following me? One of those stories was about Bishop Edeko, how he told the story, how he went to a particular hotel and they told him that Kenneth Copeland just left this hotel. And Kenneth Copeland is a revered mentor of his. So he got on that bed and he got into the same room. He told him, "I need the same room that Kenneth Copeland just left." He stayed there and he prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed through the night. He said that night when he was sleeping, he had a vision of a man's hand that was caught and maggots were eating. You know, the hand was decaying. And in that vision, he was praying for the person and the person's hand was growing back. He said he got up and the Lord told him, "These days of creative miracles in your ministry have started." It was an impartation that brought that to be. Are you getting the point? People are blessed to bless people. So every time you have an opportunity to receive an impartation from your man of God, take it very seriously. I wish I had time. There are a lot of things about impartation because I know this teaching can be taken too far. I've seen people that what they do now is rush from place to place. Sir, lay hands on me. Sir, lay hands on me. Sir, I want to tap. I want to tap. I tap. That's not it. You're not a pan-wine tapper. Take it easy. One of the things you must know about impartation, which I may not have them, I have a teaching on that actually. Go and get my teaching on something about anointing. What's that teaching again? Not anointed, anointed. The anointing of the Holy Spirit, something like that, yes. It's like part one, two. It's a very long series. I explained this. One of the principles of impartations, one of the principles I explained in that teaching is that it works by relationship. Most of the people that were imparted in the Bible, they had some sort of working relationship with people that imparted them. Look at Elijah and Elisha. Look at Moses and Joshua. I get the point. So it's not about people you don't know from Adam. I just say, impart me. That's why I receive impartation from different people. But I can tell you, I receive my impartation from my pastor and mentors I'm submitted under than from every Tom, Dick, and Harry I see on the street. Are you following me, friends? So, but the impartation works and it helps us get better. Let me address one more issue about healing, okay? Why do healings delay? Why do we pray for people sometimes and sometimes you pray for people and they jump up and they say they are fine? Why some others we take some time? Because these are some of the things that discourage some of us when we go to pray for the sick. He says, I prayed for this person and the person didn't get well. That's how we put it. Well, let me even start by saying to you, now this is what I believe. And I believe it because the word of God said so. I cannot lay hands on the sick and nothing happens to the person. I don't believe in that. If I lay hands on any sick person, something happens to the person. He said, why? The Bible is emphatic. He said, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. They shall recover. He didn't say they may. Shall is one of the greatest assertions of the English language. He said, they shall be healed. And I know that whenever I touch the sick, they shall be healed. So I'm not the kind of say, I lay hands on the person wasn't healed. I don't talk like that. If I touch you, you shall be healed. They shall recover. Say amen. But there are a few times where our experiences do not agree with this thing. I can tell you some reasons. I don't have all the answers. I'll just tell you a few. One is sometimes, the faith of the person, the recipient, can, watch what I'm going to say, can affect the manifestation of the healing. What I mean by that is, when you pray, God will not withhold healing. He must give the healing. But sometimes, people are not in the right frame of mind to receive the healing you are giving them. That's how many people, many men of God in history, came up with the idea of healing school. You heard of healing school? What happens in healing school is that they keep you there and they begin to teach you about healing, about faith. You know what they're doing? They're not preparing God to give you anything. They're preparing your heart to receive what God has given. That's why I gave that example. So that's when we pray for the sick. One or two people come out and testify. As they are testifying, the others now begin to celebrate too and come out too. What happens is, as they're testifying, their hearts begin to open up the more to the healing that God has given. So the faith of the person can affect the receiving of the person. Remember, it will not affect the giving of God. God will give healing. But the faith can affect the receiving of the person. Just like in salvation, your faith does not affect the giving of salvation. But your faith will affect the receiving of salvation. So whether you believe or not, God has given salvation. Whether you receive or not is dependent on your believing. So when I pray for you, in the name of Jesus, be healed. God has given healing. Every other thing, especially when I know in my spirit that it has happened. Every other thing I do after that, trying to help you walk, trying to help you declare, trying to help you, it's not actually to make God anything. It's to get you to the point where you receive what God has given. Are you following me this evening? So you see Jesus minister to many sick people and you tell them, your faith has made you well. Matthew 8, 5 to 13. We see a man act on faith and Jesus told him, your faith has made you well. Go to verse 13. That's the story of the centurion. I love that. Verse 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way as thou hast believed, be it done unto thee. So Jesus was clear on the fact that it was the man's faith that delivered what was looking for to him. Are you following me? In Matthew 9 and verse 22, we find the same flow of thought. He said, Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, he said unto her, thy daughter be of good comfort, thy faith had made thee whole. That's the woman that had the issue of blood. Thy faith had made thee whole. Are you following me? So it was their faith that played a part in their receiving. So faith plays a part in receiving. Now, there are places, actually, where people, whether they believe or not, the power of God can just move, and by the mercy of God, people receive their healing. I've seen that happen. Do you understand the point? But most times, well, let's leave that matter. But just know that most times when that happens, don't begin to fault yourself whether you have the anointing or not. What you do in such cases? Yeah? Okay, let me give you another reason if I tell you what to do in such cases. Sometimes too, okay, let me even answer that question. What you do in such cases? When you find out that people have received but they're not, lead them to exercise that faith. Lead them to stand and all of that. Then please pay attention to the Spirit of God at that point to know if there are further instructions that will come. But most times, when you begin, for instance, that man, that lady, or the man Peter prayed for, Peter had to give him a hand to get up. What was that? Helping him exercise what he already knew the man had received. I follow him. So there are cases like that. When people have received, you know, the healing has come, but their faith is affecting their receiving and the manifestation. So there are such cases. There are other cases, for instance, where you actually, for some reason, you have to pray more than once. There are cases like that. For instance, Jesus prayed for a man, because sometimes healings can be gradual. That's what I'm saying. Prayed for a man in Mark chapter 8, verse 22, and touched the man and asked the man, what do you see? And the man said, I can see, but I see men as trees. That's verse 23. I see men as trees. 24. He looked up and said, now, the thing about this miracle, I wish I had time. That's why I said there are certain things that you learn about healing and faith. Go back to verse 23. Let me show you something. In verse 23, the man begged Jesus to heal him. And what did Jesus do? Look at the scripture. What did Jesus do? Read. What did he do? So Jesus did not pray for this man where he requested to be healed. Jesus took him on a very long journey out of the town and prayed for him. Have you ever wondered why? Are you getting the point? Sometimes we don't get healings. We don't get results in healing because sometimes we are, that's why I say don't get discouraged. You are growing. Sometimes you are just inexperienced. Yes. Because there are cases where, for instance, there's an environment that people cannot get healed, where it will be very hard. So Jesus took the guy very far from that place, led him out of town, and now prayed for him. And even after leading him out of town, that man still needed a second touch to receive healing. So think of if Jesus had prayed for him at that point. Are you getting the point? I said, are you getting the point? So he took him out. I don't know what was happening as they were going. Maybe as he was leading him out, he was talking to him. Are you feeling what I'm saying? Maybe he was sharing some things with him. Maybe they were talking. Maybe, but point was that he took him on a very far journey. It took him very far before he prayed for him. I won't get into that. I've seen a case where and Romark said he was meeting a blind person in a church, a very small church, and the guy's eyes was not opening. And he stood up and said that how many of you believe that this man can be sincere? You know, white guys can be quite sincere. Some raised up their hand, others didn't raise up their hand. So he begged the people that did not believe that he could be healed to step outside the church. Yes. And they went outside the church. He locked the door and prayed for the person. The guy got to the opening door. They came back. I get the point. Let's leave that matter. But I'm just saying, one of these you must not do. Why I'm opening up this matter of we might need to pray a second time. One of these you must never do is to get discouraged, to say, oh, I prayed and nothing happened. Don't ever do that. Sometimes it's the person's faith. Sometimes it might even be your own inexperience. I get the point. Sometimes people just need to be touched two times. Because when Jesus told this guy, do you see anything? The man said, yes, I see, but I see men as trees. Jesus did not tell him, you see men as trees. He said, yes, so you are not seeing me before. But you are not seeing men as trees. That's progress. So manage for now. Get glasses that will make you start seeing men normally. See the next verse, verse 25. And after that, he put his hand again upon his eyes and made him look up. He was restored and saw every man clearly. So sometimes we also don't get a result because there are cases we need to pray two times or three times. You've seen me do that here, right? I can pray. The person says, I say, come, let me pray for you again. I'm not afraid to pray for you 10 times. There are cases like that. And remember, have that. I was talking about laying on verse on Sunday. Have that consciousness that every time you touch somebody, something is deposited. If I touch you 10 times, something is being repaired. Something is being repaired. Most times when I don't get that yes in my spirit that you are completely made whole, I'll keep laying hands. I keep laying hands. Okay. But somebody is going to ask me, how do you know the cases you have to pray two or three times? Check your spirit, man. Are you following me, friends? I observed a lot of things. When I watched, I started learning about healing and all of this from watching some men of God. I watched old and young, the ancient and modern. A. Allen and the rest of them, then Pastor Chris and Benny Hinn. There are cases where I'll see Pastor Chris minister to someone, person say, I'm healed, I'm rejoicing, and he will say, just come. He will blow on the person will fall down, and he will say, pick her up again. Have you seen such thing? He will play again, pick her up again. Sometimes, some people once, some people five times. What is he looking for? That light in your spirit that is okay. So there are people you have to pray for three times. Two times. I get the point. Then there are some other cases where healings may take time to manifest. Where, I mean, the healing has happened. The person's faith is intact. But it may not happen immediately. It may happen tomorrow. Are you following me? There are cases like that. Jesus prayed for a fig tree. You wouldn't say that fig tree was in doubt. The fig tree didn't have yet to believe or doubt anything. Jesus himself was not in doubt. But Jesus was not bothered. He knew it was done. By the next day, the fig tree had dried up. One of the, you know, Real Bunky was in Osuka 2008. How many of you know when Bunky came to Osuka? Anybody? Ah. It was something else. But one of the biggest testimonies of that meeting didn't happen in that meeting. Go to YouTube, look for it, you'll see it. A family, can I remember, a mother whose three children were blind. Three. And she brought them to the meeting, and Bunky prayed general prayer, and they went. They left. They slept, woke up the next morning, all their eyes were open. Go check it on YouTube. All. It didn't happen on the ground. But healing had happened. That's why one of the things you must never do is to doubt yourself in the anointing because of one or two things. Say, we prayed, sir. We came back, what happened? Once it has ticked good in your spirit, it's done. So when it's faith, if you have some time, help exercise them in faith to come into it. Are you following what I'm saying? Have I ever prayed for you here? And you didn't get your healing immediately, and you got home and you got the healing. Anybody? There are many stories like that. Many. I pray for you. Just say, people are testifying. Say, the day, am I a goat? Am I a bag of beans? Why am I not testifying? And then you get home, wake up the next day, everything cleared. See, imagine the person that prayed was doubting himself. Say, oh, it's like I'm not anointed. Oh, I prayed and nothing happened. Are you following me? Someone asked me, why does it happen like that? Well, I don't know. But I can tell you a few things I've seen. I've seen myself pray for people. I remember, I think the other day I ministered to I think it was you in the old venue. When I put my hand on, what I saw in the spirit, I saw angels. And I said it, I remember in church that day. I said, angels will work on you for 3 days or so. I saw it in the spirit that this was going to take some time. And throughout those 3 days was an experience for her. Every day, every night, angels were working. When she knew that healing had manifested, was while I was having a healing meeting somewhere else. And she was there. And one person testified of being healed of his, not of, of the brother that was at home, whom he connected to the meeting through phone. And the person was healed at home of a related issue. So when she heard that testimony, she said, that was the first time it dawned on her that she was literally fine. We're talking about, what's the name of that sickness again? Multiple sclerosis. Yes. That had advanced. Now, there are cases like that. I follow what I'm saying. Now, what you cannot do, I'm saying all this to say, what you cannot do is to doubt yourself in the anointing. To say, oh, it's like I'm not doing well. Amen. That's something I would have said, and I think maybe the Lord made me to leave that to talk about it now. When I was talking about telling yourself in the anointing, and let me just say that one, close with it. You must continuously put on the sick. It is more use that gives you more experience in the anointing. I said it on Sunday. I have more results in healing than you because I lay hands on the sick more often than you. Between Sunday and now, I've put my hands on more than 30 sick people. Between Sunday and today being Thursday. Are you following what I'm saying? Between Sunday and now. So, I will naturally have more results than you. One, I'm praying for more people. Two, I'm getting experience. I'm learning how this did not work and how that can work. So you are the one limiting yourself with the anointing. Lay hands on the sick often. Is all following me this evening? Lay hands on the sick often. Whether the healing manifests immediately, or whether you needed to pray a second time, or whether it took time to manifest, or whether the person felt it was not working, or what was not responsive, remember that you cannot lay hands on the sick and nothing will happen. Always remember that. That has been my slogan for long. I can never lay hands on the sick and nothing will happen. I cannot. So you keep praying. You keep praying. Are you learning something? Is this blessing you? What is it like a school? Learn how to do this. So you go out there, put it on someone, put it on a second person. You know, I read, was it Charles Hunter that said that the first sick person he tried to minister to died. Amen. The first sick person tried to me that. So that one is like, Satan just took your faith. Bam, bam. Imagine I finish teaching you about this. I now say, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Ah, Pastor, you charged us up. And I go to the person and shabram, bra, bra. You thought about the person died. Say, Pastor, now you do this one. If I try this again, call me bastard. But a man of God must know that with everything I've explained, there will be a few things that have happened that I cannot have answers to, at least now. Are you even sure the person that died did not want to die? Have you not found that you cannot help people beyond their own faith and what they want you to do for them? There are things you cannot have answers to. Make sure it doesn't discourage you. What do you do? Move to the next person. And to the next person. And to the next person. And to the next person. So make sure you keep putting hands on the sick. Amen. One last thing. When you pray for the sick and they get healed, if you have time, if you have time with them, even if it's 5 minutes, prepare them for the devil's counterattack. This is one thing many healing ministers don't do. And that's why, have you ever heard of people that got it in a crusade and the sickness came back? And they start dragging the healing minister. Say, they just came to do, the more you look, the less you see. It's not true. There is nothing, not mark it. There is nothing that God does that the devil will not come against. At least to try. Some of you, I'm saying that some of you get money. You have a financial breakthrough. You start celebrating. Oh, glory to God. After 2 weeks, you are broke again. Everything the devil does, Satan comes at it. Jesus told them in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, that when a demon is cast out of a person, that he begins to wander. The unclean spirit will go through, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and findeth none. Because demons are like viruses. They don't operate until they are within a body. So that's what Bible means by finding rest. I get what I'm saying now. And then they will return to the house where they were coming from. And when he's come, he findeth it empty. That is the key thing. Swept and garnished. Empty, swept, and he said, man, it's even sweeter now than when we are here. So we are coming back. That is why it's good. How do you prepare the people? Just let them know that they should learn to stand on the word of God. That's why if you can, after you minister healing to people, if you can give them a message on healing, let them listen to it. So that when the devil comes with his counterattack, they can stand on the word. Let me say this to you. Healings received in meetings like Zoe, those 4 days meeting, are rarely ever lost. Because it is within a stream of teachings. Are you getting what I'm saying? Where the person is learning a few things, learning authority in Christ, learning how to stand strong, learning how to... So that when tomorrow... Look at how sicknesses come back. Someone was crippled. I pray for the person. Person begins to walk. After 2 weeks, he begins to feel the exact same pain he felt before he became crippled. And he says, it's like this thing is back. Oh, God forbid. Holy Ghost fire. Holy Ghost fire. The sickness is coming back. It's not Holy Ghost fire. I get the point. If he was taught, he would have stood on the word of God and said, in the name of Jesus. And you know why I introduce this matter is that there's someone here. You've prayed for someone that was sick and the person got well. And the sickness came back. Are you wondering why? I'm telling you. You should have stood on the word of God to say, in the name of Jesus, my healing is perfected. Whatever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be added or taken from it. So my healing is sure. I exercise my faith. How long should he say it? He should keep saying it for the next 200 days. You should learn to fight for your healing. Because anything that God gives you, the devil will come for it. And away from healing anointing, I'm teaching you now. Anything God gives you, Satan comes for it. That's why there are churches that will never suffer attack in their lives. Because they don't grow. Once they grow, Satan comes for them. Anything God does, Satan comes for it. That's why the time it should even become more serious is when you begin to experience financial breakthrough. Satan is coming for it. What is even Satan? Opposer. That's what it means. Satanas is to oppose. So he opposes everything that God is doing. If there is nothing God is doing, there will be no Satan. Do you understand what I told you now? Satan is there to oppose. So if there is nothing already happening, there will be no opposition. So he comes to oppose what God is already doing in your life. So prepare the people. Let them know that, okay, as you get back, don't tell them sickness will come back. Or when it comes back, see what you do. Don't do that. But that's also killing their faith. Just tell them, as you've received your healing, just learn the word of God. Stand on the word of God. When any other sickness comes to your life, see what you do. Stand and fight it. And if you can, let the person start growing. Because you know the real point of healing the sick is to the end that the person will know the Lord and begin to grow. Because the problem with healing and the person doesn't grow spiritually is that there are 1,000,001 sicknesses on earth. If you heal the person from blindness, there can be deafness. If you deal with deafness, there can be cancer. If you deal with cancer of the lungs, there can be cancer of the waist. If you deal with cancer of the waist, there can be cancer of the head. So there can be many things. Which is why the ultimate you are trying to do after healing this minister is to see if you can get that person committed, to get the person growing. I get what I'm saying now. That the person will now learn how to stand on his own and deal with issues. That's one of the things the Lord has put in my heart that we're going to do maybe this year or next year is I'm going to write a book on healing. I get the point. I'm going to release a book on healing very soon. And that book, it will be a compilation of all the teachings I've done on healing in this church. From Rapha to healing in Jesus' name. So that when people, so that you can feed on these things. Whether you are sick or you are healthy. Before and after you receive your healing, you can store on them and feed on them for long. For long. Are you following me, friends? For long. And let me even close by saying, if you're trusting God for divine health, contend for it if you have to. Right? I'm on a book now that I'm reading that is still about divine health and long life. Yes. Because you contend for it to help you sustain whatever God is bringing your way. And that's the same thing you teach people you are ministering healing to. Amen. Finally, let me say to you, this teaching today, like I said on Sunday, will be useless to you if you do not go out there to begin to put your hands on the sick. I share this with you. I told you guys we are going to have a conference on Sunday, right? And we had an amazing conference, by the way. And it was attended by children of like 11 or 12. Up. 12, 13, some 10 years self. Some 14, 15, 17, 18, 20 and all of that. Even people in their 30s. People just came from every age range and all of that. Now, on the last day of the meeting, we always do this. We have what we call manifesting Jesus. Where we send these kids, these young people, to the street to go pray for the sick. You needed to hear the testimonies last night. Mind blowing. Things that if I share with you, you will think they happened on TV. Paralyzed body parts coming back alive. By little children. I get to the point. Like, testimony that were mine. I was in the car when they were reading it out. I had to wind down my glass. I said, this was... You see, testimonies all over the place. And you know why? Because they dared to put hands on the sick. Want to see results and increase with it? Go and put your hands on the sick. With everything I've told you, you can be an excellent. Let that just be a genuine compassion. And you see that compassion thing I told you is very important. If you really feel compassion towards the sick, you will lay hands on them. You pray for them. You pray for them. So I want to ask you, when you see the sick, when you see people that are blind, what do you feel? When you get to hospital and you see people, what do you feel? Do you know that Catherine Kuman, it was said concerning her that when she's done with her healing meetings like this, and hundreds of people have gotten healed. When I mean hundreds, not the situation. I've watched the Katikuman meeting where over 10 wheelchairs were lifted. People stood up from them. He said, for every time she does that meeting, she has an office up in the auditorium. She will go there and stand on the window and she will be crying. The tears is that she still sees some people go home on their wheelchair the way they came. Like, it should still be broken. If it is someone that was just interested in recording testimony, they say, we already have 16 wheelchairs healed, 10 blind people seen. Then, we have plenty of testimony. We can rejoice. So she will still go up there watching them cry. Because there are still people going home. And she will be asking the Lord, what's happening? What can we do more? Now, that is passion. Compassion to see the sick healed. And when you have that compassion, it's always met with some kind of prayers. And it's always met with the anointing. I get to the point. If you really want to see the sick healed, you will go for it. And you will have it. Are you blessed today? Stand to your feet. Let's pray in tongues for like 5 minutes. With every strength, every energy, with your heart in it, pray in the Holy Ghost. I believe that God wants to steer something in our hearts, and that's why this teaching came. Lift your voice, pray, all brothers, please. Come on. Come on, pray. Shekarante le pronta la kianda. Medi gravish klombre tiandish. Besusupendra de kaya. There is a deposit of God in you that he's trying to wake up with this teaching. That he's trying to wake up with this teaching. Online and on ground, pray. Shabelean grade zopele kringa lavrandia. Epa prende krende prenda liandish. Rebebele grande zabelean grabetaya. Madishka prenda shklibra demvra dengia. Beberica li susum prediga, e diga, pregadiga, e prediga, pregavinda, e gigaliandra, pedicanzo, e diga brenda, shubrekeia, e repedigra bateas. Come on, pray, 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 pray. We have 4 minutes, pray. Pray, 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 pray. Baba Rabba Debele Pregetian Grabateas. Le Susu Pregetica Berandia. E Baba Reclim Prade Brage de Limbradia. Pray. God is stirring something in us. Pray, pray. Put your heart in the prayer. Many of you, God will give you certain directions on what to do with the deposit of God on your inside. God will give you direction. Clarity of purpose. And there is glory, mighty walking power at work in me. Come on, at work in me. Sing it. Yes, come on.
At work in me. At work in me.
Say, there is glory.
There is glory.
Mighty working power.
Mighty working power.
Oh, yes.
At work in me. In the Holy Ghost.
Come on, sing it. Say, there is glory. Affirm it. Hard work in me.
Hard work in me.
Hard work in me.
sing, man. My ears, they hear. My eyes. Affirm it one more time. Say, my hands, they heal. My ears, they hear. They see in the two more times. Say, my hands they heal, man. My ears hear, come on. My eyes, one last time. Say, my hands they heal, man. My ears. Say in the Holy Ghost.
In the Holy Ghost.
Say in the Holy Ghost.
In the Holy Ghost.
Say in the Holy Ghost.
In the Holy Ghost. In the Holy Ghost.
Say I see. Hallelujah. Say me, say my hands, they heal. Say my ears, they hear. Say my eyes, they see in the Holy Ghost. Say my hands are an extension of the hands of Jesus. Say as I put them on the sick, they shall recover. Say I walk into the days of instant results. Instant results. Instant results. So I see results by the anointing. So I lay hands on the sick and they recover. Hallelujah. Some of you have to go start with your family. There are people sick in your home. You have to go back and confidently put hands on them. There is boldness that comes when you move. Yes, boldness comes when you move. Boldness comes. One of us, the problem is fear. Boldness comes when you move. To be confident, put us on the sick, cast out the devil, get them healed, speak to deaf ears, let them open. Are you following me, friends? Speak to blind eyes, let them see. If someone had a pain, speak to the pain, let it be gone. Hallelujah. And the more you do this, the more you become proficient with use. Proficient. With use. With use. And no, another thing that happens when you pray for the sick often is that you become more confident. It's natural. Anything you keep doing, you get more confident with it. Even singing. Right? If someone has been singing on this stage for the past 5 years and someone that began to sing last month, the difference is clear. I get to the point. Why? Anything you keep doing often, you become more confident. Even in preaching. I'm more confident with my teaching ministry now. I own my teaching ministry. I own it. What I mean, I own it. I mean, I believe in it so much. No matter how dead an audience is, I need 30 minutes to wake them up. Sometimes 15 to wake them up with my teaching anointing. I say without shouting. And to the glory of God, I own it. I can wake up any audience, dead audience. I can preach any audience to their feet. I just need a short time. Now, it's the anointing. I own it now because I've been doing it for long. Do you understand the point? There was a time when I get into a meeting and I have to teach. And I would understand. But now I just know how to build it up. It's experience. It is use. So you want to see the healing anointing manifest, use it a lot. It makes you more confident that when there is a next case coming, you are at least moving with confidence knowing that there will be results. Amen. What makes people put up crusades? And they say, bring the blind, bring the deaf, bring the crippled. And they really mean it. Because some people say they don't mean it. They wish you don't bring them. But when they say it and they really mean it, it's most times it's because they've seen multiple results. Do you get the point? They've seen, you know people say those things that they don't mean it. And some say, bring the blind, bring the deaf. But in their mind, they're wishing, they should not bring anybody here.
You know, when we say that we mean it is because we've seen multiple results. Amen. So very important. Lay hands on the sick a lot. And there will be results in Jesus' name. I said in Jesus' name. Were you blessed today in this service? Hallelujah.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer requests, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.